Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The CLNS Media Network is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
We're here.
Yeah, it means we're here. A long day, as you can tell. Taylor's in the Meadowlands right now at MetLife Stadium. People are packing up around him, so you may see some activity there as people are trying to literally sweep him out of the press box area. But the Patriots win ugly, and so but a win is a win is a win. So we'll talk about that, and we'll get into the offensive performance, which again, I still think 3 games in is a real big question mark. Defense again looks solid. This wasn't just Zach Wilson is bad. This was also had something to do with the Patriots defense. And just kind of get your take, Taylor, on, you know, what do you think actually happened here on the field here where the Patriots again win 15-10 over the Jets without Aaron Rodgers, with a Zach Wilson led team. And, you know, Zach Wilson is just an automatic W for the Patriots. And, you know, that's going to happen. I wouldn't say they sweated it out, but they didn't really put it away. So let's just start on the offense. Okay. Jets have a good defense. We know it. But still, obviously just a real inability to get anything going down the field. It stays there. Obviously the Jets can cover. Jets have a good front. I was impressed that the Patriots were able to run the ball. I mean, let's just say their commitment to the run. It wasn't incredible, but they ran the ball 40 times. They really went for it. But the passing offense, again, just kind of sputtering. And again, 15 points. Bill Belichick said it himself in the post game, Taylor.
Yeah.
15 points isn't going to get it done most weeks.
I'm glad he acknowledged it because I kind of felt like a jerk going downstairs. Like at first we heard from David Andrews, who fairly credited the offensive line. They didn't allow a sack. They ran for 150 yards. Like they answered two big question marks. We were saying, okay, they can't pass protect and they can't run the ball. They can't find balance. And they did those two things. And they're, I think, the only things that really kept them in the game. Yeah. And that was clearly something they wanted to do because they kept coming out in two and three tight end sets, sometimes using Pharaoh Brown or pretty often using Pharaoh Brown as a fullback to kind of diversify what they were able to do. And we saw that really be the lifeblood of the offense. But, you know, the offensive line was really the only, yes, that's awesome. We found some continuity. Let's go. But other than that, man, I thought that the downfield passing game, I tweeted that I wasn't sure what went wrong exactly because – this is the second of 3 games where they played in really bad weather. So you can't discount the fact that it is harder to throw downfield in those conditions. There were also times where it just seemed like the chemistry was so off. I didn't know who was at fault. But at the same time, like Mac Jones was throwing a few uncatchable passes. There were two to DeMario Douglas that I think should have been penalties. Like the refs were really keeping flags in their pockets for some reason on a few plays. But it really killed them, especially when there were third down in manageable situations where they could have gone to the sticks or, you know, just shy of the sticks and maybe gotten something. And then instead you see them take a shot that's not even close. Like that kept killing them on third downs. You had some big conversions and then you also had penalties. Like there was the one drive, you had 3 penalties on a 3-play drive. You had the one for too many men on the field where they got bailed out with a really impressive, albeit completion of Devontae Parker along the sideline. And then Cole Strange had a holding earlier in the game that ended up contributing to them having to punt. So they didn't turn the ball over. That was huge. And I think that's a big reason they won the game, because I'm sure if one of those drives ended in a penalty and gave New York some momentum or better field position, this game might have gone a bit differently. So there were big, big, good things to take away. Again, turnovers, offensive line play, but the downfield passing game being non-existent was really scary. And we'll see if it is, you know, a product of the elements, if it really is just the execution, because next week they play in a dome, so there's not going to be any excuses.
Yeah, I mean, look. I don't know how long we're going to keep, like, you know, treating this with kid gloves. They don't have dynamic receivers that can get separation and get open downfield. It's going to be a problem all year.
DeMario,
fine. But again, you know, they're so in love with DeMario that after, you know, benching him last week, he played 18 snaps this week. So again, not really in their game plan. Obviously, running the ball was in their game plan today. I think the snap count, amazingly, Juju Smith-Schuster leads them in snaps with 54, Parker 52, Parker Bourne 38, Douglas 19. When Douglas was out there, they threw. He ran 13 routes and 19 snaps. Juju ran only 20 routes in his 54 snaps. So he was out there a lot when they were running the ball. But they're not – you know, there's just not much going on. And again, you know, we don't know what you're going to get out of Tyquan Thornton when he comes back off the pup there, but certainly someone who can at least threaten the defense with his speed. I think, you know, maybe that changes things a little bit, but you've got Parker, a 50-50 guy, Bourne, who had a couple of nice plays. One time he, you know, was able to shake sauce and get a first down and make some plays, and he can do that from time to time. Juju Smith-Schuster is a net negative at this point, just in terms of the passing offense, what he's doing. He's not doing anything. So, right, and you've got tight ends who are not. I mean, again, you've got a Pharaoh Brown 58-yard touchdown and Hunter Henry, who's your kind of security blanket. Neither one of these guys is – striking fear into opponents' hearts. The Patriots don't have anyone you have to game plan for at this point. So they have to be smart. They have to have good design. They have to have good execution. You got to rely on Max timing and his accuracy in order to be able to get things out. But again, it's always kind of, this is, I think, what we're going to have to deal with this offense, which is again, why the running game, I think, Taylor, was so important today, is if you're going to dink and dunk your way down the field, you got to be able to run the ball a little bit. Yeah, and in order to soften the defense up some, so you might hit a play or two down the field. But again, really nothing going downfield, you know, at this point. Just looking at Mac, how do you think Mac did? You mentioned he threw a couple away, you know, and I don't know if it's just simply there was just guys who were just too covered, or there's just certain times he could have thrown a better ball.
Yeah, the downfield stuff, I got to say, for the, you know, film breakdown, so I can see definitively what he was seeing with the whole field. But at the same time, I thought that, like, I've been saying that Mac, especially in situational football, has been pretty good. He's had, like, three moments where he's hesitated in pretty big moments, and I think it cost them a bit. But I think he's been a net positive. This was the first game where I can't really say that, like, Mac Jones is the reason that you played well. It was the offensive line. It was the run game and the threat of the run game, take a lot of pressure off him. I would probably give him, like, a C- today. Like, he made some throws he needed to make. There were a couple of throws that were pretty scary. There was the one screen, third and 15. They've got to stop with the third and, like, extra long screens, because defenses keep snipping them out. And this is the second time this season that he's almost been intercepted on one of those. Maybe if you look at it again, I know Quinton Williams got a hand on it. I'm not sure how interceptable it was, but it was a scary play. And then there was the one to Hunter Henry, where I will say it was really a good defensive play, because I think I knew what was coming when I saw the formation when Hunter Henry split out into a stack. But that was another one where it seemed like a really close call. So yeah, I thought he made the throws that he needed to make and that were there, but I thought some of the other ones that could have put the offense in position to do better and move the chains, I thought he missed on. So I would say, like, a generous C minus just based on the initial watch.
Wow. And Taylor will dig deeper into the film and give a more honest look. But yeah, it felt like this wasn't a great Mac game. Really, and again, it's just, you know, I don't know what to feel. Like, you've got you stack up these three games, Taylor. You got the moral victory against Philly, where mm-hmm. that was better than anybody expected, and you were competitive against a team that's considered, you know, a top four team in the entire NFL and a legit Super Bowl contender. And then the Dolphins, who what's funny is you're pretty disappointed about what happened against Miami last week. Then you see what they did today, and you're like, okay, you know, we did all right here, I think. But the common denominator through all of this is the offense's inability to put points on the board, which means your defense is going to have to be near perfect and you can't turn the ball over ever. The margin of error this team is playing with, because they just don't have the offensive personnel to do what they need to do, is a challenge. Like, that's going to, I don't know when it gets better or if it gets better.
It's still so early, man, and
it is. I'm throwing it out to you.
There is reason for concern. I think that's fair.
I'm not doing a victory lap at all over it. Right. I think a lot of people felt the way I felt coming in. I'm telling you, can you find a way? Is there anything you see that gives you some hope or some thought? You know, they can still figure some things out and be a little bit more. You know, if not explosive, just be a little bit more dangerous than they are right now, because they really don't look like a difficult team to defend.
I think the offensive line and the ground game, like, that's the thing. It stinks because, like, Mac Jones didn't play well, but they won this game when Mac in the offense, passing offense, didn't play particularly well on the strength of their line and their run game. Like, I think that's huge. Like you said, that's got to be the difference maker, where if you're going to have an offense that dinks and dunks down the field, you got to be able to do it in a different way and be able to have them respect you running the ball. I think that's a massive step in the right direction, because that was something that scared me. It's like, if you have bad offensive line play, nothing else matters, because you're not going to have time, even if guys are getting open, and you can't just keep throwing things quick, because then defenses are smart and they'll be able to figure you out. So, and beyond that, I do think there's a lot more potential with DeMario Douglas than we've seen. I think even like Kendrick Bourne, we've seen him getting open downfield. It's not like he's blanketed every time. Like, he's got some good reps. It's just the connection hasn't been there. And again, it's been two bad weather games. So you say, all right, like, I want to give them some benefit of the doubt. But that's why, like, this week, I've been saying, was big for the offensive line. Like, you've got Trent Brown back. It was the healthiest they've been in a long time. You had to prove that. Now, next week, it's okay. No excuses. You're in a dome. You've got a healthy offensive line. You've seen plenty of reps of what you did poorly trying to go downfield in this game specifically. Before, I thought it was more execution, like receivers weren't catching passes that they should have caught. This was one where it's just like everything's out of whack. Next week, if you could put something together, then, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But I agree that it's not looking good right now.
You know what it's starting to feel like based on what they're doing and what I'm seeing now with just, you know, and again, it wasn't – but just the three tight end sets, you know, a lot of two tight end, and the way they're doing running the ball 40 times today, this feels like the Cam Newton season, where we're not going to do anything real on offense, but let's just keep it. Let's keep a ball control offense. Let's be smart. Let's see if we can bully a little bit. Let's see if we can pound the ball and just make smart plays and just keep it together, and then hope that our defense will keep us in games. But I feel like the white flag has already been waved on this offense in terms of what they think it can do. Because what's going to happen is people at home are going to start clamoring for the kids. What bugs me a little bit here is the thing that you just said, Taylor, is, yeah, maybe there's hope, and that hope is in the – here's why there's hope. It's DeMario Douglas, Tyquan Thornton, maybe Kayshon Boutte. Not because they're necessarily better than the guys you have running out here, but you're pretty certain you know what those guys have. So if there's going to be anything to open up this game, it's going to be the more athletic, more explosive, younger playmakers that you have to give opportunities to. But – I don't think Bill does that. I think Bill likes to play it safe with his veterans. We've seen that time and again. So I don't know that you're going to get those guys. The fact that Douglas, fine, he got benched last week, you know, when he was, you know, mixing in early and it looked like he might have a role. I thought for sure they were going to come back and fold him into some more plays. He was barely on the field at all here, and they clearly had decided what they were going to do, and it didn't really involve him in this game. And I get it against Zach Wilson.
That was a game plan.
I get it here. Is all you're trying to do is not lose it on offense against the Zach Wilson-led Jets team. So it's a different game plan. Maybe they'll view it a little differently next week against the Cowboys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think – I just don't think that if they keep sputtering like this and there's nothing happening, like, at the same time, like, relying on young players isn't always great, because they have to prove it in practice. Like, if DeMario Douglas is having good days in practice and he's producing, then they'll put him on the field more. And I think they still want to. This was clearly just a very run-heavy game plan. There were times where there was only one, maybe two receivers on the field. So I think that's a big reason why you didn't see as much DeMario. But one thing I will say is Juju. has been a significant disappointment. And I think it is the knee, because looking like he had 1,000 yards last year. You could say it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't care who's throwing you the ball. He had 1,000 yards last season. Before camp, I was expecting, okay, he's going to be a yak guy. He's going to be a chain mover. If they flex him out, he's shown that he can win some one-on-one matchups with the back shoulder fades like you see from Hopkins. In camp, I lower those expectations because it was like, all right, he's not catching a lot of passes. And when he does, it's usually over the middle, short stuff. Like, all right, manage expectations for Juju. I get it. At least he'll be a consistent, you know, reliable, chain moving kind of guy. But what we're seeing now is like he doesn't really contribute consistently in any facet of the game. And that's where maybe I was wrong, but also he doesn't look like the same player that we saw last season. I think that's been huge, where Kendrick Bourne, you were hoping, took a step forward. Devontae Parker, you're hoping, becomes a big play threat. And I was surprised he didn't get more opportunities downfield. That was kind of weird to me, considering Mac was doing that for a lot of people. He had the one, and I'm not sure if he stopped running. I heard people saying that, or if it was just a bad ball. Right. But yeah, I think it's like, it's your veterans are disappointing. Devontae Parker was their best deep play threat, and he hasn't done any of that. Kendrick Bourne has flashed so many times that he can make, you know, crazy plays downfield. He hasn't done that consistently or in the past couple weeks, really. And then again, Juju is not really doing much of anything, and even getting called for a bad penalty on a block that helped contribute to a sputtering drive early on. So, you know, it's, yeah, we have to rely on the young guys, but the veterans need to step up and do what they've been expected to do. That's why I was confident that this would be at least a top 12 offense that didn't make mistakes, but, you know, fewer mistakes today, but the execution wasn't good.
Let me ask you this. Where would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where was your optimism level after the Eagles game, after the Dolphins game, and after this game? Is this the lowest you've felt about this team?
For sure, for sure. Yeah. I would say, I mean, it's mixed.
And it's, it's weird, right?
Makes me feel a lot better. Yeah, it's
Someone
weird.
In the chat called this a moral loss. You know, you got your moral victory. It's the opposite. And again, I see somebody else saying in the chat, like, guys, they moved the ball enough to win. That's all you need to do against the team. Sure, but you gave the Jets the ball back three times with a chance to win the game, you know, in the fourth quarter. That's not great. Like, you couldn't even get first downs to ice the game, let alone put the points on to create separation. So,
Okay, I'll be answering. Thank you.
We have to wrap it up soon. I'll let you answer here, Taylor. We're going to do a couple sponsors
Let's
here.
Let's go quick. Sponsors, then we'll talk quick defense.
I don't want you getting tossed. Yep. So that's what you would say is this was the worst feeling after the three, because you were hoping that with the gifts you're going to get from the Jets not being able to move it, you'd be able to do a little bit more. But we'll get into that in a little bit, and we're going to talk about the defense as well. Really quickly, we got to pay some bills, and we got to tell you guys about our sponsors here. Of course, everybody at this point knows about FanDuel. Terrific sponsor, America's number one sportsbook, the official gambling partner of the CLNS Media Network. All you have to do here is go to FanDuel.com/Boston. Bet five, get 200 in bonus bets. Check it out. There's a million special offers you can cash in on here as well if you want to get involved in the action here. So once again, it's FanDuel.com/Boston.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, get into the defense here. Again, it's almost like how much can you learn about the offense, like in the preseason when the O-line was gone and blah, 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 and this and that. Mm-hmm. How much can you know about the defense when you're facing Zach Wilson and the Jets?
Yeah, I'm going to be quick so I don't get in trouble. I think the defense did what they set out to do. Like, they came out in an actual base personnel grouping where they had three down linemen and four actual linebackers. Usually it's Marte Mapp who is that fourth, but we all know he's a safety that they call a linebacker because you don't put linebackers in the deep middle of the field. But this week we saw Keon White and Anthony Jennings, who hadn't been active all season, and we saw Jelani Tavai and Juwan Bentley in the middle. They clearly wanted to stop the run. Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall both had 18 rushing yards, which is pretty insane, you know, even considering they're one-dimensional on offense for the Jets. Zach Wilson was sacked three times. They had gave up the one long touchdown run. You know, they put a cap on the offense the entire rest of the game. So I think Gonzalez, his work that we saw against Garrett Wilson was locking him down. I think the biggest takeaway is that the one good offensive player they had who was not behind the offensive line, which the Jets offensive line struggled today against the Patriots front, which was expected. I thought Christian Gonzalez did really well against last year's offensive rookie of the year.
I believe Romo at one point already anointed Gonzalez as one of the best corners in the NFL right now. Are we a little premature on that?
They did it with Sauce. They did it with Patrick Surtain. Like, yeah, if you are good and you're not giving up big plays for the first few weeks, then like, yeah, they're gonna say that every year.
Okay,
but it's also true. I don't think it's because he's had some pretty insane tests the first 3 weeks, and he's come out with flying colors for the most part. So yeah, I do think it's pretty fair that he's getting praise. But like, you know, let's maybe wait a little bit longer before we go that far. But, you know, he has played fantastic football.
And they needed it because you're down every single Jones today. And that was, that's something that, you definitely had some problems in the secondary. I want to quickly ask about Zeke. I know they ran the ball hard here. Were you surprised seeing the split that you got out of this game with Ramondre? And again, Ramondre's out there a lot more. He was out there. He's more of the passing down guy. He still was out there nearly 2-1 in terms of snaps, but in terms of carries, 19-16, they brought in Zeke to pound the rock specifically here in this game.
Yeah, and I thought that, Mondre, again, like, he has a big workload. I think that played a big part of it. But I thought it was good to see, you know, people have been asking, is Zeke, does he have his legs? Is he still, you know, he's not the same player, obviously, but he's showed that he could still be very effective. He's been pretty good on toss plays consistently this season. And we also saw that he can get the tough yards inside, and the offensive line did a great job getting pushed. So, yeah, I thought this was kind of performance you wanted to see from him if they were going to go ground heavy. Like, the Patriots were fighting for every single yard they got, and he managed 5 yards a pop, which I thought was impressive because Ramondre got 3.9, and he clawed and scratched for every single one of those.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of room there, and there wasn't great. But Zeke ran with a little more burst. A lot of people thought he looked slower the first couple of weeks, and he definitely had a little bit more little more pep in his step today. And he's got the Zeke revenge game next week against the Cowboys. We'll preview that quick in 1 second, but I did want to talk about something that happened outside of MetLife here, and that's the freaking Dolphins putting up 70 freaking points on the freaking Broncos. And Sean Payton, I don't know what he's gotten himself into here. NFL record 726 yards of offense. You had running backs go for 350 yards and 8 touchdowns between the two running backs there. This was incredible. And all of a sudden, the Patriots, you know, allowing the Dolphins to, you know, have a couple successful drives to start the game last week and then play them pretty well the rest of the time actually looks pretty good now.
Yeah, man, that's ridiculous. These are like, I've never put up those numbers in Madden at any point in my life. Those are insane. I think this Patriots defense is better than we thought. It seemed kind of silly that they used that three safety defense, and obviously they got out of it after just like a series or two. But they forced the Dolphins to throw underneath. They tackled, and they didn't allow them to get the big chunk plays. And the run defense obviously did struggle. There were some objectively bad reps that you want to see them clean up, and they're better than those. But at the same time, this was a great offense that they held to a pretty modest day for any good offense, much less one that obviously is putting up ridiculous numbers like that. So it just makes you feel better about the Pats defense and maybe a little more scared of the Dolphins because they did that without Jaylen Waddle.
They did. How many quarters would it take the Patriots to put up 70 points against anybody?
How many quarters are in a season?
How many points do the Patriots have this year?
That many.
Not 70. Not 70, I'll tell you not that. 70. What did they have? They had how many coming in? 52 coming in plus 15. Oh, there's nope. They have 52 total. Sorry, they're at 52 right now.
I feel so bad for Garrett Bowles. His post-game press conference was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's saying, like, all I've done here is lose. And, like, he's a tackle. It's not like he's, you know, a wide receiver or, like, a diva. That's a dude who's getting his ass kicked every single day. And, man, you gotta feel for the guy.
Very quickly here, Taylor. The Dallas Cowboys next week, they lost, okay?
Yeah, Cards.
Lost to the Cardinals. Nobody saw that coming.
That was pretty insane. Yeah, I think – I don't know if Brandon Cooks played or not, I haven't seen the stats. I know that he was out last week, which definitely impacted their ability to put points on the board and like move the ball. Oh, obviously, they did pretty well against the Jets. But the passing game wasn't as good as you would expect for my Cowboys passing attack. Let me see the stats right now. Wow, Brandon Cooks, two receptions, 17 yards. Damn. Yeah, I'll have to watch the tape and see what they did because that's pretty wild. And it also, you know, makes
that
you more
did
optimistic.
Not look
for what
great
the Patriots
at all, but their D-backs play, they their D-backs played really well.
Well, Patriots have good DBs, so hopefully this week letting John Jones rest up will pay off next week.
Well, I think once again is you're facing another tough defense, obviously, but things have changed now with Diggs obviously out of the game. I think the Patriots will do their best to scheme up guys like Parsons. There's other playmakers they have there, but this game looks a little less daunting based on everything we've seen outside of what the Patriots are doing. You saw what the Dolphins did and you feel better about the Patriots defensive effort against them. And you've seen Dallas really lay an egg here offensively and their defense come down to earth some. So this game I think was penciled in as an automatic L and potentially an embarrassing one, the way that the Cowboys are playing. I think maybe less so this week. Then again, they could be mad as hell and things could get really ugly, but I don't know.
And Patriots offense should be mad as hell after today. So hopefully they match each other's energies.
Yep. Yep. So Taylor, any closing thoughts here before you get tossed?
Defense. Have faith in the Patriots defense. Be excited that the offensive line looks better and that the running backs got things going. And be skeptical of the passing offense because they have not given any reason to feel otherwise.
With the busy fall season already in swing, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Too busy this fall to cook? Want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy and get back to crushing your goals. Looking for calorie-conscious options during the busy season? Try the delicious dietitian-approved Calorie Smart Meals with around less than 550 calories per serving. This September, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/presspass50 and use code presspass50 to get 50% off. That's code presspass50 at factormeals.com/presspass50 to get 50% off.
Once again, Patriots defeat the Jets in kind of a slop fest, 15-10. Taylor's going to dig deep into the film, check things out, and see what he likes here. I felt like there was something else we wanted to touch on. Is there anything left over?
I don't know. If so, I'll tweet it. I'll make a video or something. I'm genuinely afraid of that man coming back and getting
I've got your back. I'm literally watching your back. And yes, I would agree with some of the comments here. The Patriots don't have the speed that the Cardinals have, and that's what got Dallas today, with a couple big plays there for sure. And that was, you know, they really caught him off guard. They really caught him off guard. There's some warring here in the it's an automatic L, 5-12 season. Some people are down. I think people are more down than up on this win. He's gone. Oh, Taylor, we got to go. He's out of here.
I'm so sorry. I'm wrapping it up. Seriously, I'm gone. Bye. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in.
Taylor, don't get arrested. Guys, thank you for watching. Check it out on our YouTube channel. Taylor's going to go. Watch. Look, he's gone. He's already gone. Bye, Taylor. Sorry, I didn't want Taylor to get any trouble there. Taylor at the Meadowlands. Holding down the fort, and that is a problem sometimes when you're on the road. Those guys can get a little feisty and they want to toss you, and it's New York, so they don't have much tolerance there. I have been locked in a stadium once before. That wasn't fun either. Sometimes you can hang out really, really, really late with the television crews doing all of your tapings and all of your live stuff. And yes, I have been locked inside a stadium. So at least Taylor was, that guy was nice enough to let him know that the time has come. So again, thank you guys for watching. I'm sorry it was so quick, but again, as we said, Taylor was being run out of there. More stuff coming tomorrow. You're going to get more podcasts, Patriots Daily, Patriots Beat. Taylor's going to break down some film as well. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Patriots Press Pass. Thank you guys for hanging out. We do appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time.